Hello, this is Reggie Watts, and you're listening to the Jimmy Fro Show right now.
It's the Jimmy Fro Show.
As promised, I'm going to try to tell a quick little story. This is something that happened to me in April. My sister, unfortunately, my younger sister passed away in April this year. And, you know, you hear people inheriting rings and jewelry and property and money. But among some things that I, as her sibling, inherited, I also inherited the contents of her freezer. And that'll be an important tidbit as we go further into the story. But it's probably 3-4 weeks later. It's a Saturday morning. I'm on daddy duty watching my baby. And when I was a kid, my mom used to make homemade peanut butter cookies. And she'd put the fork marks in the peanut butter cookies. Can you guys relate to that?
Yeah.
For those that are listening at home, I'm making fork mark gestures. but something about the fork marks, there's no ingredients added by putting fork marks in a cookie. But because mom did it, they just tasted better. At least that's what my mind tells me. So I made a note that at some point in the day, I'd seen these two peanut butter cookies in the freezer. And it was Saturday morning, figured I'd have some coffee, and I'd eat these cookies. And I took a bite out of the cookie, and it tasted a little weird, like it was freezer burnt maybe, but still good. Drink a coffee, take another bite. I'm enjoying the cookies. I offered a little piece to my little daughter, and she didn't want any. And got the other cookie, took a bite, and I was like, man, what's the weird taste I'm getting from these cookies? And I took like one more bite of the second cookie, and I put it down. Fast forwarding, hand off the baby to the wife, go take a shower. And I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden, I have a weird tilting moment. Like I felt like Jeff Spicoli, like, whoa, the bathroom is loose or something, you know. I put my hands on the wall and then it went away. I'm like, all right, that was weird. Get dressed, go downstairs. Wife hands the baby back to me. I'm on baby duty again. She likes to climb the steps, so I'm following behind her. And all of a sudden I feel that tilting again. And I'm like, what's going on with me? I thought it was an anxiety attack. A couple more steps. I feel it again, like I have no balance and I'm shifting. I thought, okay, this is what they call, what's that syndrome when you feel like there's like a pressure in your ear and you, vertigo, thank you. Soon to be PhD John D to the rescue. So that's what I, what's that?
Nothing, South Park reference.
So that's what I thought it was. I was like, okay, I got some vertigo or some anxiety. And I call it to my wife. I said, Malia, you better come down or there's something going on with me. She comes down and takes the baby. I think it's a headache. I'm wondering if it's a stroke because my sister passed away from a heart attack. My mom died of a massive stroke. I'm thinking everything. I'm getting paranoid. You know, I'm 48, so you know, you worry about those things when you get in your late 40s. So next thing I know, I'm opening every cupboard in the kitchen looking for aspirin. I don't know why. And my wife's trying to talk to me. What's going on? And she asked me that question and like, I don't answer her, but then I remember her asking me that question. And like, it feels like I'm panning in with a camera and panning back out, zooming in, zooming out real quick. And I'm like, I lost time there. Like, what just happened? What do I got to do today? Because I had on my calendar to go record some songs here with my friend Shiloh. And I didn't know what I had to do that day. I was lost, zooming in and out. So it got to the point where I couldn't even stand still. And I laid down on the couch and I had my wife worried to the point where she figured you better just to make sure we better go to emergency. And I think I told you, Shane, I was going to call you because I'm thinking maybe something, they spiked something. Maybe somebody put something in those cookies, you know? So fast forward again, we're at emergency and I start to like look back, like trying to be my own detective as to why I'm in emergency on a Saturday from eating cookies. And I'm thinking, it was kind of weird that those two cookies were like not in like a Glad Ziploc, but they were like vacuum packed. That was kind of weird. And then I asked my wife, I'm like, because I could barely talk and my arms, I couldn't move my arms. Yeah. And I asked my wife, I said, Malia, where did we get those cookies at that were in her freezer? And she said, oh, those were in Joy's fridge. You got those when you cleaned out her freezer. And I started thinking to myself, I've heard of pot brownies, but is there such thing as pot cookies?
You were gorked on THC, weren't you?
So then piggybacking on that thought, I'm thinking to myself, and this is an important part of the story that I may have left out. My sister was a once-a-day toker. So it all started to come clear to me, and my wife's calling my dad and my aunts, and my dad shows up. And by that time, they'd done blood, and I can't move my arms. I'm flat on the table, and I'm like, "Dad, I think I ate some of Joy's pot cookies." That's just after a series of blood work, pissing in a tube. And here's where it kind of gets funny. Listen to this. So the attending physician comes back in the ER, in the room, and this is after I told my dad, and my dad says to the physician, "Did he tell you his theory would happen?" And he's like, no, he didn't. He ate some of his sister's cookies that had pot in them that he inherited from her freezer. And in my doped up mind, I heard him like in a stuffy, cynical British accent, like, "Yes, of course, that's what it was. They were pot cookies that he inherited from his sister's freezer. Yes, that's what it was, of course." He didn't believe me. So that is what it was. And my dad's calling all my sister's friends. "Hey, this is Joy's dad. Did Joy make pot cookies?" And the first girl said, "No, I don't think so." Called another girl. It was a nurse she'd work with. She'd go, Oh yeah. Yeah, she bought those. She took like a quarter of one before work every day. Meanwhile, I ate almost one and a half of those cookies. And I'm in the emergency room.
Well, when you're not expecting it, that is a nightmare situation.
Yeah. And then my friend, you know, because I didn't show up here at the studio. Well, she had told people what had happened, told her dad why I stepped and didn't show up that day. And he was really worried. He's like, "Jimmy, the one you write music with?" And she's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh my God." He didn't throw him away, did he? Which obviously we did, but that was a unique day in my life.
Yeah,
it starts out pretty traumatizing, I would imagine.
I did not know what it was, man. I told you that story, didn't I, Barley? That's the second time you heard it?
Josh mentioned a little bit. Yeah. Not in detail, but he sort of gave the... That is a great story. I had a friend
who edibles.
They were medical grade.
Yeah, that's like the biggest weed cliche out there is few too many edibles. Happens to all of us.
It's too much. I did have a friend that in the past he would set his alarm clock for maybe 2 hours before he was supposed to wake up on his weekend or when, I don't know if he was an adult or a child. He was telling me this story, and he would eat a tab of acid when the alarm would go off, and he would fall back to sleep so that he would wake up in a full-blown frenzy of what's going on. That you just reminded me of that, telling that story, that just seems like to wake up not knowing what to expect or to have that. I don't know why you would do that to yourself on purpose.
Right.
He was doing his own experiments on stuff like that, and he enjoyed doing that on occasion just to see how his day would go,
mm-hmm.
waking up in the flow of that kind of state of mind. But it's interesting.
The scariest part was the losing time part. Like, I did feel like I was losing time, and I didn't know if I was in the midst of a movie. I didn't know what day is it. Was I supposed to do something I couldn't remember?
Time's a very interesting thing, and how our brain perceives time and what it does to
right.
time is very, very, very strange and interesting. And so, once you throw drugs into the mix, I mean, things can get real weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Shane, how can people view your documentary, Psychonautics?
Well, I don't know just yet because we just had the world premiere and just kind of got this little award for it and got some distribution deals. We haven't decided who we're going to go with yet, and we're actually still like kind of shopping it around and whatnot. So that whole process is going to take like another 3 months, I'd imagine, and then we'll have like. I would say in a few months, I'll be able to be like, it's going to be on this platform in this month, which I imagine will be like January or February or something next year. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, I would just say that One, I always share my ongoing news with listeners of the Here We Are podcast, my science podcast. I have a different academic on each week. And two, you can go to shanemoss.com. You can join my mailing list. You can find the info for the film. Go to psychonauticsfilm.com. I think that's right. I didn't build the website for it. And there's a mailing list for the film in particular, if you only want info for that. Actually, that's probably a safer because I'm not in charge. I am in charge of my own email list, which means I've sent out one or two in my entire career. So the film one is like actual people in charge of it that have responsibility. Sure. So yeah, I'd say that mostly. I'm most interested in people checking out my podcast, Here We Are.
Yeah. Yeah. Available at iTunes, Stitcher, and where else?
Everywhere. Now it's on, even on Spotify recently. We got on Spotify, which is terrific. I mean, I think that wherever you listen to podcasts, whatever you're using, I'm sure that you can listen. And if you don't have a podcast app or whatever, you can just play it right from the HereWeArePodcast.com website.
Yeah. Some great episodes. Some of my favorites. One of them was the one you did with the Headspace guy. Is it Andy Puddicombe?
That was a great one. Yeah. That was so I don't always have academics on. Sometimes I have people like Andy Puddicombe, who is the founder of Headspace, which is a meditation app. And he's a former Buddhist and trying to kind of normalize, you know, it's been his kind of mission to help popularize meditation in the West. And he also kind of just showed up at the right time with this fantastic app and really interesting, bright dude with the most beautiful, soothing voice I've ever heard from a man. It's incredible.
If you're not careful.
It's amazing. Yeah. So we do episodes like that sometimes too. Like I never know, I've had like life coaches on and stuff like that. And so I mix it up a little bit. It's mostly scientists.
More recently, I think it was Ashley Booth. You talked about, I think, being on a trip of some sort, maybe psilocybin, and you had some problem that you couldn't resolve. In the midst of the trip, you had discovered a solution. Do you remember that?
Nope.
Talking about that? No. No, okay. I think it was
upset. A lot of times I do my podcast and I finish and all of it, every second of it falls right out of my brain. And then I move on.
Clear the cache.
Yeah. I learn more researching for my podcast. That stuff will stick with me than I do actually doing the podcast itself, because I'm just like more in entertainment mode while I'm doing that. But no, I don't remember that conversation.
I've had a similar experience where I had a problem with a DVD, an entertainment shelf, and the door was getting stuck. And I don't think I was tripping. I was a dream as to how to fix it, put a screw in it one way. And I tried it and it worked. It was kind of mind blowing that your subconscious or your dream state can offer solutions.
Oh, was it about me dreaming and rock climbing? It might have been.
I've had dreams. You said you had one particular.
Yeah, that wasn't during a trip. That was just dreaming. I've dreamed since getting back into rock climbing. I sometimes have dreams where I'm rock climbing, like at my gym, at actual routes that I'm like having trouble
with. Was
that
the Ashley Booth episode? Did she talk about dreaming?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Maybe.
Cleared the cache.
And I figured out to like turn my foot in a different way on a particular hold to finish the route.
That's it.
And then I woke up and I was like, gosh darn it, I think that might work. And then I went to the gym and finished the route that day. It's a big part of what sleep is probably about, is that sort of thing.
When you wake up, do you often use that kind of vulgarity? Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it. I'm going to start my day. Golly gee whiz. I sure am from Wisconsin, aren't I? Oh, yeah. I had a... What was that episode? I had an episode about sleep recently. I wonder if it was on that.
Could
instead,
have been.
I had a fantastic episode about sleep and dreams recently. That was one of my most recent favorites over the last 2 months or so. It's probably my favorite episode. So,
who did you speak with?
He has a really interesting name. It's like Zlatan.
Yeah, he's also a DJ on Facebook.
Yeah.
Zlaton.
Zlatan. Zlatan. Yeah, is his first name and then his last name. All who knows? Yeah, Zlatan something. Man, that dude is awesome. And yeah, so it's. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, that episode didn't go very well. And then I get like amazing feedback from it. So everyone's into different things.
I wrote a song called Chocolate Dreams where I started realizing every time I ate chocolate before bed, I had funky dreams. And one of the lines is, you're in your mom's kitchen and then all of a sudden you're at the mall with Madonna. But it's strange when you dream how like, it seems like all these liquids are like pouring into one another. And again, I'm gesturing. This podcast is in beta, so you guys are all right with that. But it seems like when you're dreaming, all your like your memories, your ambitions are like swirling together. And that's maybe like a hint at what a dream could be, just sort of a commingling or an amalgamation of all those things.
Well, and then you shut down like the prefrontal cortex and like all that decision making and impulse control stuff, so you're like fucking and killing things and doing all sorts of like weird stuff that you wouldn't actually do in that playground. I mean, I don't murder people in my dreams, but I've heard other people do so. Yeah, dreams are interesting.
Yes, they are. John, would you like to plug something you're up to, what you're doing, what you're into?
I mean, I don't really anything too much to plug.
A website, a link.
I mean, I could talk about the Center for Consciousness Science. So that's where at the University of Michigan, where a lot of this research is going on. So we do the psychedelic research, like I was saying, on the endogenous DMT. There's a lot of ketamine research. One of the godfathers of ketamine actually is still active at the University of Michigan. His name's Ed Domino. He's like in his 90s and he's still gangster dude. but he was very instrumental in kind of bringing ketamine into the clinic and whatnot, and did a lot of the early pioneering research on that. We're actually, now that I think about it, we're putting together a symposium probably in the next like 8 months, something like that, probably next spring, on psychedelics. So yeah, could nice. Give a heads up early for that. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on there. And then I don't remember specifically what the site is, but if you just Google Center for Consciousness Science, University of Michigan, it'll pop up. And we do things like research on anesthetics too, and a little bit of sleep research, just like pain research going on. It's kind of interesting stuff where they look at pain as an altered state of consciousness and mm-hmm. how some people's perception of pain is heightened and some people's perception is lower. So a lot of interesting stuff going on there. And
have you seen the thing people with a lower perception of pain are usually more prone to be psychopaths?
No,
because it's an empathy thing. They don't they don't feel that much pain themselves, so they don't understand they're inflicting pain.
Makes sense. That's so reasonable. Yeah. I didn't see that.
It sounds like that Black Mirror episode. Second season, you guys ever watch that?
That show muffs me up. I haven't even made it past the first season. It's great, but every time I watch it, I just get crippling anxiety, and I'm like, man, this is like too close to home. Yeah. I need puppies falling down the stairs or something.
Yeah,
give me 20 minutes of puppies falling down the stairs, stat.
Yeah. Black Mirror is one of the I'm like, is Black Mirror just like is it actually
a social commentary
watching us, you know, like this is what's actually like happening, and it's just like preparing me for like, but by the way, any day now all this is gonna flip and you're gonna pop out of this and the world that you know actually doesn't exist.
It's a trailer for real life. I think it was like an episode about consciousness transplanting, but I remember one scene, there was a doctor and he was like having sex with a woman so that he could feel her.
No, that was a good dark episode.
You seen that?
Yeah.
That was the season finale, I think.
That was a real interesting.
It ended up in a carnival,
episode.
Didn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
Super dark.
I wouldn't spoil any more of it, but
I couldn't believe they showed that at church. Barley, tell me, what are you up to? You want to plug something?
Any shows we're doing are maybe bandsintown.com or whatever that app is. They pop up on there, and we're here at Mind Rocket finishing up our album. That's going good. Josh is doing a great job. And that's about it.
Thank you, Josh Roman. All right. So I'm going to close out with some music, as this is a music podcast. John, did you think of a good sleep song we could play? One that maybe was recorded here?
Recorded here? Craters?
Craters?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll sandwich Shane's hand whistle.
Or he could just do some more Van Halen jump to take us out.
That's episode two. Nice. I'm just glad that you hung on to that, the joy of an 11-year-old boy that gets from playing the hand flute. I love that. And we'll piggyback after that a rebreather song. We'll do the rebreather song that they did here at Mind Rocket for the Mind Rocket Project Sessions. You can go to YouTube. It's at the Jimmy Fro Show channel, or just search at YouTube, the Mind Rocket Project Rebreather. And check out the Here We Are podcast at iTunes, Stitcher, and pretty much any podcast aggregator app website out there. Shane, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
John, thank you for being here. My pleasure. Barley, thanks a lot, brother. We'll see you guys.
Awesome.
Pack your bags, get on the bus. I don't care. You won't stop thinking about us, no matter where you're at. Now keep holding on to you.
Okay, we are doing the questionable questions
as we do every episode. I have here, he's still here, but he's not here as in Mind Rocket Studio here, because we taped this little segment after the fact, because Shane Moss forgot to remind me how to run my own podcast. So we're going to have him pick a question out of the questionable question envelope, which is brought to you by Mind Rocket Studio, the Lime Tree Sandwich Gallery, Beautiful World, and the Here We Are podcast. It's bartering sponsorship. So Shane, if you, I don't know, if you happen to have like Kevlar mittens on or some type of ionizer, as I do take care of this envelope, it's a valuable envelope.
Mm-hmm.
If you have those, if you could put them on.
Yeah, I'll just grab them out of my back pocket and reach in there.
All right, I appreciate that. And you can go ahead and read that yourself if you don't mind.
What does the phrase make it big mean today, if anything? What did it mean in the 80s and 90s? Boy, I don't know. It, to me, it seems like Donald Trump is like the inevitable outcome of what making it big meant in the 80s. And I would almost say he is like the kind of MTV Cribs, or more of the, what was the show? The English guy, the English guy that interviewed rich people in their
homes.
Oh,
yeah. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Trump is like the outcome of like that complete false narrative of like these guys actually having lots of money and power that they probably didn't have, and fooling everyone into buying into it. And so now, I mean, because I think of make it big, like you're setting a goal for yourself right now. You haven't made it big. So right now you're going to set a goal. You're going to make it big. I think that means, I think recently it's been like all of a sudden YouTube sensation and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and on the internet and like social media, and how many Twitter followers can you have? Now people are like cast for movie roles and stuff based on their like social media following.
Yeah.
That is criteria that
you can buy followers. So how much of that's legit?
I imagine they probably make sure and screen for how many followers are fake. Who knows? At the same time, there's this like very kind of Buddhism like invading the West kind of movement where like making it big, it means like going back to the basics and like. Making it big for me means not wanting to make it big and to like have the, now people's dreams are like simplifying and they want to like live off the grid or whatever. Like people just aren't as interested in, it was this interesting time in human history where all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, famous people and musicians and everything, you know, starting in the early 1900s or whatever, became like bigger than like kings of kings. Mm-hmm. And then everyone saw that, wanted to emulate that. And now it's just like grown into such a ridiculous caricature. I mean, that's going back to MTV Cribs. There's a reason that show isn't on the air anymore. People got sick of it.
Right.
And I think people are just like kind of getting sick of that. There's still reality TV, which I hate, is a reflection of like, I want to see what normal people's lives are like.
Yeah.
Or like these bizarre niche groups or whatever.
It's been inverted.
These weird, interesting mm-hmm. people are up to. So, yeah, so I don't know what it means something different. It is definitely always changing. And there is, it seems like there is a constant with music.
Yeah.
For sure is a constant. It seems like there is a constant with little bits of Hollywood stuff. But that's even like, it might all be AI, like computers might be like making the movies for us very, very soon. They might be, the CGI might be just as good as watching a human, and they might be creating the human voices and everything else. Yeah. And whereas like a live music performance, I think that has some longevity for the foreseeable future. I would say making it big in the future is hopefully being a stand-up comedian that tells weird sciencey jokes. Mm-hmm. That'd be what making
it doesn't have to be like a monetary that. goal, because when I was a kid, I mean, the naive notion I had was that your Motley Crue made it big, and you're rolling out of a limo to go sit across from your record executives, and there's streamers and champagne. Sign this agreement, you've made a bid, it's a seven record deal, Motley Crue made it big. And you know, that was my naive notion back in the 80s.
And now again, like, limos are kind of embarrassing. Yeah. Now, like, limos are something that like high schoolers take to prom, and it's like, okay, you know, let them have their silly little fun. Right. Or you get it for your wedding or whatever, and pretend right. limos are actually cool anymore, which they aren't really.
Right. And Foster the People and Alt J, they roll up in a minivan, probably, you know.
Yeah.
Or a camper or something.
Right.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, that's sort of that's what I was getting at. Usually, when I ask that question, I get answers from a musical arena, but it's neat to finally get an answer from like a broader scope, you know, to talk about like stand-up comedy, which is your field. So,
yeah, I'm half joking when I think when I say the future of stand-up comedy is bright. I think it could be, but I don't see it moving too much in one way or another. It's always been the kind of the redheaded stepchild of entertainment, and I imagine it always probably will be.
All right. Well, for those of you that listened all the way to the end of this segment, thank you for being indifferent and uncaring. Thanks, Shane.
Fro Show is a nonprofit production. Please go to jimmyfro.com to contact Jimmy and find links to buy music by the bands featured on the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Don't eat any more food in your room, Mother said.